Well, did you ever wonder, stop and think about why you're actually here? You say, well, yeah, I know why I'm here. It's Sunday morning. I understand that, but why you do it? And I trust it's not just out of ritual. Duty is a great thing, but duty only gets you so far. We meet on Sundays, the first day of the week, because that's when the disciples started meeting, and that's when the scriptures, when it says instead of Saturday, the Sabbath, that the gatherings, the offerings, then the meetings and things would start being on the first day of the week in celebration of the fact that the tomb was found empty on the first day of the week. And so we're not here just out of ritual. We're here because something's happened in the vast majority of the people. Something's happened in your life. You've been saved, you've been born again, you came to Jesus Christ, you called upon His name, all those things referencing a new birth. And so people that are saved are commanded to come together and celebrate the resurrection and fellowship together with brethren and sisters in Christ and to get instruction, but then to encourage and to bear one another's burdens and to encourage one another. And I just want us to stop. Sometimes you feel like you should stop and pinch yourself and say, God's work is a wonderful thing. Amen. And here we sit. Some of you are a little worse for wear. Some of us. That's not a put down. That's just a true statement of life. Some of you, maybe you're hitting on all, as they used to say, all eight cylinders, and you're doing well. Some of you feel like you just barely coasted her in here. But wherever you are, mark it down. You get help or you'll give help today, and then next week or the next week or the next or the next or the next, you'll be on the other end of that. And that's why it's so wonderful the way God works it all together and it weaves together, that when you're up, somebody else is down and they need pulled up. And when you're down, somebody else is up and they can pull you up. And that's not necessarily that anybody gets dispatched. That's why we all have to or should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And when He puts someone in your heart, you ought to go over and say, brother, I'm praying for you. Ma'am, I'm praying for you. And don't ever resist when the Lord puts something on your heart to encourage somebody, maybe a gift, maybe a word, maybe just whatever. But it's a wonderful thing as I just look about around and see us being in church. And thank you so much for being here. Many of you, most of us, we all know each other, but again, some are here today, and this is the first time. Thank you for being with us. It's a joy to have you. I never want to be a pastor of a church that makes people wonder whether they're welcome here. If you have your best on, if you have a tie and suit and dress and all that on, wonderful. If you seem to be the least dressed person in this room, matters not to me or the Lord. We're just glad you're here. And so thank you for being in church today. And it's a joy to get to be here together with you. Well, I want to preach to you for a little while. Now, all that last advertisement, I'm going to take that off my time. I'm not going to hold you over for what I just gave you. That extra 3 minutes, I'm going to take off my sermon. So, I want you to look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, as you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, the end of it, this is going to be a message, or the writing, is from the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. While you're finding your place there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I did hear this story about this pastor in town. He was always, as pastors should, trying to go out recruit for business. He was just out in the neighborhood, and he came upon this group of boys, all 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, all around this dog. And dogs in the middle, and these boys were doing, and he could tell when he got up to them that some of them was really animated. They were really into the stories they were telling. And then as he got closer, he could actually hear some of the words that they were saying. Oh, yeah, he said, the one boy said, I climbed up to the top of that waterfall, and I just dove off into there, and telling big outlandish stories. And the pastor, he knew that some of them weren't true. Well, as soon as that boy got done saying something he could hear as they were walking up to him, another boy would tell an outlandish tale of what he did. And the pastor finally got up there. He said, well, boys, what are you all doing? And they said, well, we're just swapping lies, Pastor. And we figured the one with the biggest lie gets to keep the dog in the middle of this of our crowd. Whoa, that really went through the pastor. He said, boys, you shouldn't lie. He went into about a 10 or 15 minute sermon about thou shalt not lie. He got going. He said, it's not good for you. It's not good for your family. He started, before long, he was hacking and like a mountain wild man preacher. Boys, Hannah, God said not to lie and you ought to do that. And he wound that sermon up by saying at the end, he said, boys, when I was a kid, when I was your age, I never lied. Timmy looked at the other boys. He said, okay, give him the dog. So, you can't trust those preachers. You know how they are. In 1 Timothy, we find a passage of Scripture that is given from an old preacher, Paul, to a young preacher, Timothy. And he's going to specifically going to give him some instructions about the ministry. And you're sitting here saying, Brother Preacher, I'm not in the ministry. I'm not called to preach. I'm not a pastor, a pastor's wife, not a missionary. But I believe the advice for life, which is what I'll title this, is going to be used for everybody in this room or listening. Advice for life. We're going to see a schematic or a game plan, if you will, for young Timothy that's also for us. This is the third charge given to this young man from Paul. First of all, he tells him not to let anybody despise your youth. He said, don't let the fact you're a young man keep anybody from respecting you. And basically, he said, live a life that they overlook that youth and just you stand for the Lord. And I want us to look at verse number 13 after he goes from verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example and of believers in word, conversation. But then in verse number 13, 14, 15, I want to get my message from this morning. He's telling them, till I come, he's going to come back and see him again, give attendance to reading. Now, reading, of course, it's implied that's the word of God, to exhortation and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm going to give you this advice for life. I think we can draw 3 points out of here that will help everybody in this room, because I'm finding that Satan and our busy schedules and all that's going on in life, everything that's happening in your family and your jobs, your retirement, wherever you're at, has a tendency to pull us away from where God wants us to be. And if we're not careful, we'll be going down the path slightly altered from where God truly wants to be. I don't think that you're necessarily way off into left field saying that you're totally doing things that God's not pleased with, but we veer. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help us now as we look in for these next 15 minutes or so and trust the Lord would be good to give us all something. Father, be with us now is our prayer. Thank you for everybody in this room. I pray, dear Lord, for your touch to be on the hearts of these people. Lord, please work in the midst of this crowd, and may you give us good advice for life. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, I believe, will work for us. And I want to get our 3 points right from this passage about you and your life and what you and I ought to be doing. We see in verse number 13 that he says, give attendance to reading, and then he goes, and to doctrine, of course. But the doctrine and the exhortation also wouldn't be possible without what he's saying to read in the first part of the verse, and that is the Word of God. He tells this young preacher boy, and I tell you today, that if we want to have our lives on track and we want to have our lives where God wants us to be, then we need to elevate the Word. Elevate the Word in our lives so that it holds the prominent position in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your living, and in your job. Elevate His Word, because as he tells this preacher, you ought to take heed or give attendance to reading. A book entitled The Wonders of the Word of God tells the story of a young man who was, because of an explosion, lost his eyesight as well as the use of both hands, the use of them. And so he was a new Christian, and he longed for the Word of God. He had read before he was sick, before he was in that explosion, he had read of a person in England that had used their lips to read the Braille Bible. And so he worked out a plan. Somebody was able to get him one. But because of the damage on his lips, he also wasn't able to rub that across the pages of the Braille, or the humps and the bumps of the Braille. And he was unable to do that. But his tongue, true story, his tongue just happened to slip onto the Braille of the page. And like a flash, he thought, I'm going to try. At the writing of that book, The Wonders of the Word of God, that young man had with his tongue read the Bible, the Braille Bible, four times. Can you imagine having such a hunger for what's in this book that you're most of you holding in your lap? Can you imagine having such a hunger for that, that you'd go through such painstaking advances or means to get that into you? But we see somebody who elevated the Word of God. We talk about the Bible being outlawed and banned in school, and they're not allowed to have here, and they're not allowed to have it there. But I can tell you the truth, many Christians, if we were told that you can't bring the Bible to your workplace anymore, it wouldn't change what they do because they're not bringing it at this point. Many folks, if they told them it's banned in this theater or the other theater, whatever area you're living in, it wouldn't change how we live because we're not elevating the Word to where we make it a part of our daily lives anyways. I'm saying to you as a Christian believer this morning, could I give you this advice for life as Paul does to this man, that you ought to elevate the Word of God in your life? There was a time in our nation where Christians would just rally around the Word of God. We didn't need to have seminars about how they could be a better this, that, or the other. All that was needed was to say, we're going to have a Bible study. Have you noticed on Christian radio, on Christian television, in Christian pulpits, that most of the time preachers or pastors or teachers will get up and they'll say, we're going to have a lesson on the seven helps of parenting, or the 13 helps of this. We're going to have this. Where's the believer? Where's the Christian? Where's the pastor? Where's the child of God that would say, I don't need to have the gimmick, so to speak. I just want to have the Word of God. One of the famous commentators that many of you are familiar with, J. Vernon McGee, he for 5 years would take people through on radio across this land, the gospel bus. Would start from Genesis and go to Revelation. And there were people, and there still are, there were people, though, that would schedule their days. There were housewives. There were people that would schedule their office hours around. They would say, I'm going to listen because that broadcast comes on at 2:15, or that broadcast comes on here. Oliver B. Green from down in South Carolina, he would say, this is the gospel hour, in a big old raspy voice. He would close his broadcast by saying, hey, Lord, save that soul that's nearest hell. And he meant it. But there would be people who would schedule their days just to hear the Word of God taught. And I'm suggesting and imploring each of us to get back to a place in our lives, regardless of whether our day allows us to stop and listen to the radio. I'm not speaking of that, but what I am speaking to is that you elevate the Word of God in your life and say, I'm a Bible Christian. Paul says to give attendance to reading. He not only tells that, but look in verse 14. He says, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy. Apparently, commentators say that Paul or one of the guys had predicted or prophesied that he would be in the ministry, and he certainly was. And then he goes on to say, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery or the other pastors, the other leaders. But he says, not only elevate the word in verse number 14, but or verse number 13, but then fulfill the calling of God in verse number 14. Neglect not the gift. Now, I already told you, his gift was specifically the call to minister, to preach. And everybody in this room, you don't have it. Thank the Lord, because if you don't work, I don't get paid. That was a joke, folks. I'm sorry. They're not getting any better. It's just, I try to hit off with a good one at the beginning, but then they just kind of slip downhill from there. Shame on any person that's called to the ministry and doesn't go do it, but also shame on somebody that's not supposed to be doing it, they go fake it. because the call of the Lord, and I thank God for everybody's in the ministry. Thank God for everybody who's not supposed to be in the ministry, and they're doing what God wants them to do. But you see, I'm just maybe naive enough, I think biblical enough to say that God's got a will for everybody's life, whether it's ministry, whether it's secular work, whether it's some sort of other form, fashion, or another out there. I believe God's interested in every one of our lives. It's not the missionaries that go to the foreign field that are the ones that had God's call in their lives. I believe it's everybody in the pew, because the Bible says that God wants every single one of us engaged in what He wants us engaged in. And it's a beautiful thing when people find the will of God for their lives. My wife always says about a couple of professions and nurses and teachers and things, she said, you can always tell when you're being helped by one of those people, if that was their calling. Because they do it with such care and such tenderness and such help. But all of us know the opposite as well. When you get somebody who's not their calling, you don't want that one. Boy, it might come and shake you in the middle of the night when you're there trying to get some rest in the hospital bed. But I believe that all of us ought to find the will of God for our life. You say, preacher, I don't know what it is. I don't worry too much when young people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's better to just be surrendered to the Lord and called unto Him, and then let Him figure out the specifics of where you're going to go. But my advice to everybody in this room is fulfill the will of God on your life. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of being the king. Actually went to one of the religious areas, the monasteries of the day, and applied. But the leader, the prior, told Henry III that it would be hard for him since you've already ruled. And he told the pastor, as it were, the leader, I'll be obedient to you as Christ leads you. I'll follow you. He said, go back to your throne and faithfully serve God where God has put you. Just like it'd be wrong for me to take your job, it might be wrong for you to take mine. I'm not saying that all of us need to swap them up, but what I am saying is that we ought to find the will of God for our lives. Be attentive, neglect not the gift that's in you. And there's so many things that I could say, but for the sake of time, I won't. But let me just give you this. Also, neglect not the gift that's in you. Neglect not that gift, those spiritual gifts that we'll learn about here in a few weeks at our church here on Sunday nights. But neglect not that gift. God's given all of us something that we are supposed to be doing for His kingdom. And woe unto us, shame on us, if we're not finding what that is and getting involved with it. As I mentioned already, the church is a beautiful thing that God's brought together, and you're to encourage somebody who's discouraged. And when you don't do what God puts on your heart to do, that person goes discouraged instead of being encouraged. And we ought not neglect the gift, neglect the leading, neglect the calling, neglect what God has given us to do. He says to this young preacher, neglect not that gift that's in thee. Fulfill the calling of God. An Italian proverb says this, destiny is determined by chances, not by chances, but by choices. And listen to this. One person's put it like this. Once the game is over, the king and the pawn go back into the same box. You understand that one of these days our lives will be over. We won't have an opportunity to be a blessing to people at that point. We won't have an opportunity to lift somebody who's fallen. We won't have an opportunity to encourage somebody who's messed up their life, and you can come inside and speak some hope into them. I'm saying this morning that we ought to not only elevate the Word of God in our lives and be a Bible Christian and stand upon it. And if I'm going to stand upon it, that requires that I know what's in it. And if I don't want to know what's in it, that means I got to get in it so it can get in me so I know what I'm standing on. But not only will we elevate the Word, but we will also fulfill the call of God on our lives. Everybody has something that God wants us to do. And then lastly is this. Verse number 16. Take heed unto thyself. I give you this last thought. We ought to keep ourselves on track. As Christians, as fathers, as mothers, as friends, as a pastor, we need to keep on the right track. That's what he's saying. Take heed unto thyself. Pay attention. As my dad would say, You say, what does that mean? I said, well, I know what fear it struck in me when I heard it. I'm not exactly sure the origins of it, but pay attention. I never forget. We're working on this old church van. I told you this before, working on this old church van, that, you know, when churches get vans and buses, they're already old in somebody's estimation. That's why that church got it. And so Dad's working under the hood. He's not a mechanic, doesn't like to be, but it had to run. And so I'm there with the flashlight because that's the only job I was qualified for. By the end of this discourse, you'll find out I wasn't qualified for that one either. And so as I'm holding it right where he's working on the carburetor, that van, and then my attention wanders, and so as my attention wanders, so does the flashlight beam. And that's when my dad gives that wonderful discourse. How? I want you to shine that light on what I'm looking at, not what you're looking at. What's he saying? Pay attention, boy. Take heed unto thyself. It's been many times since I didn't take heed unto myself. Dad took heed unto me, and it was more pleasant if I would take heed before he took heed, because his heeds didn't help me much in the pain department. But take heed unto thyself. Do you know there's a whole lot of problems that we could keep ourselves out of if we just on a regular basis pay attention to what we're doing? Amen. Am I getting too far away from my family? Am I spending too much time away from them and where I should be with them? Am I spending too much of my energy on something that doesn't mean anything for my family, for my faith, and for the entities that I care about? Keep ourselves on track. Keep on the right path. One of my favorite stories about Abraham Lincoln was as he was getting ready to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, January 1, 1863, it's said that as he started to write, he dropped the pen beside the paper. He spun, turned around, and did some other things. And then they said, "What's wrong, sir?" And he says, "If I'm to be remembered in history for anything, it will probably be this." He says, "I'm afraid if I hesitated, that they would. If I dawdled a little bit, historians would say I hesitated while signing." And so with that word, he turned back around and grabbed the pen and firmly this time and signed it, Abraham Lincoln. Because he didn't want anybody to think that he was half-hearted. He was taking heed to himself. And I'm thinking about us as Christians, as fathers, as mothers, as families. The apostle says not only to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, but then he goes on to say, continue in them, verse 16. Keep on keeping on. He starts off with the adage of bring up the word of God in your life and then pay attention. Go to now. Take heed unto thyself. And when you find those things, continue in them. A book about leadership I read one time asked this question, thought provoking as it was, said, when you get where you're going, will you be where you want to be? Another person put it like this: be careful as you're climbing the ladder to success that it's not leaned against the wrong building. Because sometimes we fervently want something, but we realize the destination was not as good as we thought it would be. I read a story of a fellow who was old at this point, but he told of all of his dreams in his 20s that he'd had. Now again, he's old. And his words were this: I missed my kids growing up because of work. I lost my wife's love because of ignoring her. He said, I missed my own father's sickness and death, ultimate death, because of my schedule. And he said, I'm dead inside. I'm old and tired and sick of myself. Now, friend, you didn't come to a self-help seminar this morning. What I'm preaching to you is the Word of God, and the Bible says, take heed unto thyself. Take some looking in. What do we do when we have the Lord's Supper? The Bible says that examine yourself. That's a spiritual thing. See if there's something in you that shouldn't be in there. Get it all right. Why does God tell us to do that? Why would He tell us to look in? Because if you'll look in with an honest heart, with a biblical heart, you'll see there's many things in there that you're not supposed to be doing, and you'll stop it and confess and ask the Lord to help you to go on from there. And so what I'm giving as advice for life is this: elevate the Word of God in your life, for once again, may we all become what used to be not that uncommon. May we all become in our businesses and our schools and our hospitals or wherever we work and live and have our being. May we once again be those Bible Christians where we elevate it to the point that I'm putting it into my life. I'm playing out what it says to do. I'm elevating the Word and I'm fulfilling the call of God on my life. I'm taking not just, well, what do I want to do next? Instead, I'm praying, Lord, what job would you have me take? Lord, should I take this promotion? I love it when people call or text me or stop by and they say, preacher, pastor, I want you to pray with me. There's an opportunity at work, but I don't want to take it if it's going to mean my family's going to suffer for what I'm going to advance through. And then we are able to pray together. And sometimes they go for it, sometimes they don't. But I love it when people have that attitude because they are trying to fulfill the call of God in their lives. And then they're also doing the third one, and that is trying to keep themselves on track. We lived in Ohio for 6 years. Some of the winters were up there pretty bad and makes those potholes worse. Sometimes you think you could bury a small mule in some of them. You hit those potholes and boom, that tire, not that you'd want to bury that small mule, but you get what I'm saying. You'd hit those tires with your wheel and knock that thing it'd be out of balance, maybe knock a weight off or get out of alignment. If my car's going down the road like that, it needs balanced. If you're veering off to one side or the other, you need an alignment. But if our lives are veering off or wobbling, we need a spiritual alignment. We need to make sure our lives line up with that Word that we're elevating. Like an old fella, old farmer, ask him when a boy pulls up beside him and has said, where are you heading? I asked you that this morning. Where are you heading? Are you heading where God wants you to go? Are you elevating His Word in your life, or are you operating? It was a wonderful service, I think, last Wednesday when Brother Nyman was here. He presented how many times us Christians, we make our decisions basically like the world would, an unsaved person would, instead of just consulting God on everything. Are we consulting God on everything? Are we elevating His Word? Are we fulfilling the calling of God on our lives? Are we keeping ourselves on track? Just some advice from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, most of the people in front of me I know very well. I'm their pastor. Others have slipped in. I'm so thankful. Maybe one of these days, if you would lead, I'll get to be their pastor. But you've gathered us together today, and I believe that this message is what you had for their hearts. Lord, I'm convinced. And so I pray that you would pack it in, settle it in on them right now. Lord, that a Christian believer, a sister or brother in Christ, would commit to you right there where they're sitting. I'm going to elevate the Word of God in my life. I'm going to put it back in its rightful position as the Word of God. I'm going to make my decisions bathed in Scripture. I'm going to raise my children with the love that the Scripture says I ought to have for them. Maybe somebody's thinking today that they need to fulfill the calling of God in their lives. That job promotion, if it's not from the Lord, then it's not for you. And maybe there's somebody in this room who just says, oh, I need to keep myself in check. I need to keep on track. I need to take heed unto myself. Lord, whatever the need is, I pray that people would respond to you accordingly. And folks, if there's somebody in this room, or heads are bowed, if there's somebody in this room, you're not sure you're saved, not sure you're a child of God, If you, when we stand together in just a moment, if you wouldn't mind to step out where you from where you are and slip down the front, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home, how you can be sure you're a child of God. It's very, very simple. But you've got to turn from all your abilities. You've got to quit trying to get on your own and just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You want to present yourself for that so we can meet with you. Whatever your need is, let's follow the Lord. Would you begin to play? And as they play, would you stand together with me? Are you on track, my friend? Are you lifting up the Word of God into your life? Are you elevating it? I've watched videos, and some of you have in this room as well. We've talked about it. I've watched videos where people groups would get a written copy of the Bible, and they would bring it to their bosom like a loved one that they hadn't seen for a year. And every time I watch that, it makes me wonder, how does my love for the Word of God rank according to that person? Am I elevating the Word? The altar's open for you if you'd like to come. You're welcome to come and pray. Perhaps you're praying right there in your seat, saying, Lord, I'm going to elevate your Word in my life because it is your Word. Lord, I want to fulfill your calling for my life. I want to walk according to you. And then I want to keep myself in check. You notice all those things are connected to the Word of God. Before you get fulfill the calling of God, you got to know Him well enough to fulfill that. If you're going to keep in check, you got to make sure you keep in check with Him so that you can make sure you're doing right. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Thank you for being here today. It's a joy to be in God's house. Brother Steve was holding up his Bible. That is exactly what we need to do, elevate the Word of God in our lives. You know, friend, it's so easy to start making decisions, and I'm just being as real as I can. I'm done preaching now. It's so easy to make all of our decisions, even as Christians, based on, well, I think that's best right now. Every decision, especially those major ones, they're all major, I suppose, but we ought to think, is there a biblical principle that I need to be applying here? Now, if you're deciding where to go eat, I don't know if you Burger King or McDonald's, God probably say don't go to either one. I'm not sure about that. But you know what I'm talking about. Is there a biblical principle that needs to guide me here? We ought to elevate that Word. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. And if you just give me just a moment, I'm going to slip out here. I'd love to greet you. Don't forget, if you're in the 60s decade, you or your spouse are in your 60s, then we want to invite you over to the Family Life Center. My wife and I will greet just for a little while, and then we're heading right over there and get to fellowship. And you say, I haven't signed up. That's all right. We've got plenty. Stay with us. Even if you can just stay for a few moments, we'd love to have you, and we'll have a great, great time together. So we're thankful for you in church. God bless you. Brother Marty, why don't you come pray for us, then I'll give me just a minute to slip back there.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to apply this message to our lives, that it changes, that we can think about it as we go through the week, and help us to serve you better, Lord. Pray that you bring us back to our appointed time again. In Jesus' name, amen.